Sing it unto him.
Oh Lord, prepare me
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, be tried and true with thanksgiving. I'll be your living, will you?
Sanctuary for you.
Amen, amen, amen. Just make me a sanctuary. Like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelation 5. We'll read where we've been reading from. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody. Just pray that the Lord will be with us. Now, what we're going to try to do is so I may be a little lengthy, I warn you. So if it is, I'm sorry this afternoon and all, but I'm going to try to finish up to a point, you know, of the message, and then we'll have questions and answers on Wednesday night. So I want to do that if I can. Now, it would be hard to, but I'll try to. This morning I noticed I got to read and suffice until, you know, I mean, trying my best to get everything in and everything, but you know, you just don't want to help the people, and time is a valuable point to us. But just pray that the Lord would help us, and we'll try to have questions and answers Wednesday. Then Thursday morning, pretty early, I'll be leaving, going to Jamaica, and be gone for the weekend. Wade will be taking the services here, so just remember that. And remember, the weekend after then would be the fellowship meeting in Alabama. If you want to go with us, make sure you let us know, and we'll pick you up and carry you to there and back. All right. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. And Father, we desire one thing from you, and that's your leadership. Because we know that we in ourselves cannot lead. We cannot even follow. But we pray that you would just help us and that you would anoint us with the spirit of understanding. We know that Satan does everything he can to fight and destroy it in any way of thy word to try to keep it from coming out, but yet there is no way to stop it because you've already spoke it, and we believe you. And Father, we ask you to just have your way now. Forgive our sins, cleanse our minds of all things that would be of hindrance to us, that we may listen to you as you would speak to our hearts. Forgive us when we fail you, and we know we do that continually. And just bless us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of that right hand of him that sat upon the throne. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're trying to get to a point, and I won't back up too much on this morning, to try to, you know, to get forth into the message, because we know that the Lamb was the only one worthy. And the Lamb was the one that John the Baptist introduced on the River Jordan when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Right? And then we know this same Lamb now as we said, where did this lamb come from to take the book and to loose the seals? The prophet was covered this morning. He come from the Father's throne. He come from the seven church ages. All right? Because this is a funny-looking lamb. Like I said this morning, it wouldn't be odd for John to look for a lamb because he was a prophet and understanding the symbolics. He knew and had heard John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God," you know. So he would be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he looked, he didn't find him. He found a lamb that had been slain. All right? He could understand that because that was Calvary. But then when he saw the seven horns and the seven eyes, he must have balked a little bit on understanding, so God made sure and expressed to him exactly what that meant. He said, which is, you know, the seven horns and the seven eyes, which is the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth. And that was down through the church ages, all right? Down through the church ages, because it was a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Now, as I told you this morning, and I want you to write this down and take it with you, you won't find a bodily form of the Lord Jesus Christ between Revelations 1 and Revelations 5. And then 6 goes into the seals for the Israel and things, you know. And you don't find it there, but you find it in bride form. Because that's the lamb. See? Now, this lamb is in bride form. It's not in human element form. It's the acts of a play. And what happens then? What did we give you this morning? The lamb comes forth to the one sitting on the throne that has the book in his hand, takes the book out of the hand of the one sitting on the throne, climbs up on the throne, and sits down. All right. Now, we gave you that right at the light, souls in prison, page 24, so go backward on it and listen. See? He climbs up on the throne and sits down. He become the one on the throne. In other words, he kept bringing himself forth in many forms until you can finally see him in that form. All right? If you'll study the book of Revelations, you'll never find this in the book of Revelations anywhere. You'll never find God in the book of Revelations outside of the accompaniment, however you say it, or being accompanied by the bride. Now, I figured everybody say amen on that. You won't find it. Go study it. You won't find God outside of being relation or accompanied by the bride, because he's joined himself to her. We've got a quote in here about when they become united. See? All right? See, then study these things. That's what makes the book of Revelation the bride's book. Because it's about the bride. You want to see yourself? Get in the book of Revelation and study it. But study it with the Holy Ghost. And see that even the lamb that takes the book, the lamb that takes the book, he's got seven horns and seven eyes. So it comes from the Father's throne or the church ages, because that's the Holy Ghost down through the church ages is the Father's throne, all right, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, he's not seen then apart or without the bride. Now, to anyone that has ever met, say, anybody, you know, and knowing that you know, my wife doesn't travel with me now, but she used to travel with me a lot. She always accused me of not introducing her, said I was ashamed of her, but I never was. It's just a mind being forgetful, and I'm just sorry. That's just the way I am. But see, anybody that's ever known me knows that I'm married. Right? And even people that have never met my wife, you know, they know enough about her to be able to comprehend a little bit about her without, you know, seeing her, because I've talked about her. Right. See? So then there's no separation. See? We're united together as husband and wife. See? All right, now, I know what the prophet said. If I see your wife, I don't see you. I agree, because that's trying to get it down to the oneness of the Godhead. But there's one thing about it. You cannot, if you understand a person is married, you can't separate them from their wife or husband, because they're one. All right. So then what we're doing is, see, the lamb, this lamb was slain at Calvary, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man was slain at Calvary. The Word that was made flesh, then laid in the tomb. Now, this is the words of your prophet. He laid in the tomb, lifeless, because the soul was out of the body. The Word was laying there lifeless. And that soul went to hell and preached to the spirit, but come back up and resurrected that body and took it into glory. All right. See, then the Son of Man was the one, the Lamb, the Son of Man, was the one that ascended on high and led captivity captive, sat down on the throne in glory to leave the body as a sacrifice, but not a lifeless body, you know, laying there dead, you know. No, it's the acts of a play. All right. See, because the Holy Spirit not ripping it out of him again and sending him again or something, he's up there dead like he was dead. No. It's the acts of a play. But the life that was within him came back on the day of Pentecost, and then that would be Christ in you, the hope of glory. But not manifesting himself as Son of Man, but as Son of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But in the end time, according to Luke 17:30, the Son of Man is to be revealed. Well, everybody says, oh, that's Brother Branham. No, Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, when we get to the last of the message, then you'll see what I'm talking about. But where does this lamb come from? He comes from the Father's throne. And where's he been? What's he been doing? Well, he was over here doing something. No. He was back in the Father's throne, we read this morning. He comes forth out of the Father's throne to take the book out of the hand of the one on the throne, climbs up on the throne and sits down. He's not Trinitarian. It's one true and living God with many forms. See, then as he does that, he is Almighty God. Only God can be a man. I gave you the quotes this morning where Brother Brown said he's not just an ordinary man. He was God in human flesh. The one true and living God, or else you got some kind of a secondary God or another person or another identity, and you're right back exactly where the Nicene Council was at 325 A.D. They weren't arguing over three gods or one God. They were arguing whether Jesus was the same substance. And they declared him actually winding up in the finality of 606 that he was another substance. Starting the Trinity doctrine of God in three persons, blessed Trinity. All right, but now listen. Something has to happen in the end time to you and I. All right. Now, who is this lamb? In what form is he in? Because that's the most important thing we could ever think of. All right. Now watch it in a minute when we get to these quotes where that the Son of God is put out of the church. Now be real careful with that wording. Because the denominations do not want the Son of God, the Holy Spirit, out of the church. There's a lot of difference in Spirit and Son of God, which is the Word. They put the Word out, but they want the shouting, the glory, hallelujahs, the things, right? So be careful when reading what the prophet says, that when he says the Spirit was put out of the church. What is he talking about? The Word and Spirit. All right. They want the Spirit. They don't want the Word. So watch that now. All right. But he died Son of Man to release the Holy Ghost that was within that Son of Man that was kinsman to you and I. So that Son of Man is your kinsman redeemer. God in human flesh, the kinsman redeemer. He was the Word made flesh. There's your redeemer. There's your kinsman. The Word made flesh. He's the only one worthy to take the book. The Word made flesh is the only one worthy to take the book. Right? Now don't get trapped up in the end time when we start talking about in a minute that the bride is the Son of Man. Don't get trapped up in your thinking. I warn you ahead of time, the devil will tell you. He says, see there, he's crossed up himself. It's not crossed up. Because the only one worthy is the Lamb. The Son of Man. And the Son of Man in bride form is just as worthy as the Son of Man in human flesh upon the earth 2,000 years ago. I'll say that now. Because you get tied up in your mind and say, no, nobody's worthy. There ain't none of us worthy. I'll agree with you. You're not bragging on nothing or making it look good when you say that. You're showing how spiritually ignorant we are. But it's not he that has made us, not we ourselves. All right. Now watch what I'm saying. This lamb that the bride gives birth to is not another person like it was back there. You know, another human, a man, a human being. Because he doesn't come back to earth in a corporal body until the millennial reign. Right? We go to meet him in the air. And he does not set foot on earth until the millennium. So it's not trying to birth a physical. Now he'll have to be so visible among us that he'll raise the dead and go into rapture. But who's the last form of God on the earth? I thought we believed the bride was the last amorphic before the rapture. All right? So then that's what I'm talking about. The amorphic into the bride. Bride form. Okay, now. This lamb is not, we're not to give birth to another human person. We are to give birth to the Word. And here's what's going to be so hard for you to swallow. Is because the Lamb coming from the church ages means the church ages have done what they're supposed to do. You're only looking at the bad. That's why I've tried my best from day one when I started in this series 46 services ago. I started by telling you, don't read the book of Revelations to try to find out how bad you are. Take God's word at what he says you are. Because before he started in the church ages to tell the wrong of the church ages, he showed the bride already at the white throne judgment in chapter 1. See, as long as we keep on dealing with what bad, we're just, that's where our trouble is. Well, there ain't nothing among us. If they had at Lula what they talk about, man, they'd just be all kind. You know what's wrong? You. Amen. You. Amen. That statement. You know that the Bible has had to be fulfilled by people. You know, in the last days, people say God tarrieth his coming. Because we've heard all of our life that the Lord was coming. And the Bible says they say the Lord tarrieth his coming. Somebody has to say that. Somebody's got to be a hindrance. But woe unto the hindrance. I just try to tell you, don't be a hindrance. If you don't understand, just leave it alone. Pray and just leave it alone. Because you'll be a hindrance, all right? Now watch this lamb unfold. Look at his description. A lamb, bleeding, slain lamb, with seven horns and seven eyes, coming then from the church ages. That's where he's come from. He's come from the church ages. All right. Now let's start doing a little bit of reading. I got a lot to read because there's 24 quotes on here. I didn't intend to go this far, but I decided I'd better do it while I was in one setting to try to get it right, you know, to where I could get you to see it. All right. Page 101 of the Breach, 1963, 317E. Seven horns was the seven churches. See, the seven church ages, because that was the Lamb's protection. What he protected his right with on earth was a God-sent group of people that's protected. See, the horn on the Lamb. Seven eyes are the seven messengers of the seven church ages. Seven eyes, seven seers. All right. So where does this Lamb come from? From the church ages. But he's not going to come forth now as Son of God, because Son of God is not described with, like, the Lamb is described as the Lamb. Son of God is not described that way. Son of God is the Holy Spirit. All right? It's the Spirit that was in the people. Yeah. But it's not described in a physical form type. All right? It's the Spirit among the people. But now, watch this point. You get the whole thing. The Lamb being described here in the book of Revelations in the form of a lamb. So that means somebody, somewhere, is going to achieve that position. The Matching Pieces sermon, years ago, 95, I preached in 1995. Matching Pieces. When we match here, what's there, we go there. All right. Now, then, that bride form is what you're looking at. Now, watch the illustration. So don't try to read ahead of me and get the other parts. Listen to the illustration, then we'll read. All right. But I know you're going to go ahead and read anyway, so go ahead and read. There were seven church ages in the Old Testament. Right. That's what the prophet said. Those seven church ages gave birth to Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. They didn't give birth to the Son of God. The Son of God was before the foundation of the world. But the Son of Man in prophetic form of the Son of Man now, the Son of Man, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, all right, that's fine. But the Son of Man was not made manifest in the Old Testament until he came in a birth. But he was seen in spirit form, Christ form, Son of God form, but Son of God was before the foundation of the world. But the flesh wasn't before the foundation of the world. So then you wasn't dealing with Son of Man in the Old Testament, other than prophetic Son of Man prophecy through Jeremiah, Son of Man, prophesied. Speaking of what it would come and saying that they would one raise up after me, Moses said, that you better hear. All right. Now, but it had to be brought forth. So then the Old Testament gave birth, and you've heard this sermon many, many times, so I gave it to you, paragraph 68, masterpiece. The foundation was laid by the patriarchs, but the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of all of it. Jesus came on the scene. Then when this headpiece was put on, we find in him the entire handiwork of God. We find in him the perfect reflection of the Word, for he was the Word, the fullness of the Word. Now again, God was perfectly manifested. A masterpiece has a perfect masterpiece again. As Isaiah said, "Behold my servant, the masterpiece." All right. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, masterpiece. Laid the foundation. All right. That's in the masterpiece. The prophets built the body. The last one coming was John the Baptist to introduce. Now listen, John the Baptist never introduced Jesus Christ as a baby. Come on. Angels sang from heaven to recognize him as a baby. John the Baptist never declared him to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world until he was about beginning to be 30. Becoming 30, the Bible says. See, because he was not in that manifestation. He was Jehovah crying in a cradle. But he couldn't die for you at that position. He was God the Word at 13 or at what age with the Pharisees. But he couldn't die for you at that age. He was not manifesting the Lamb form at that age. All right? Now when he reaches his ministry, he's manifesting the Lamb. And that's why it says in Luke, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because it's Isaiah, because he hath anointed me to preach. All right. Now, see, then what has happened? The Old Testament gave birth to the Word. All right. But the Word had to grow in birth into the person. That's what it says about him. Said he, you know, so many years of age and all, when he was rebuking his mother there, said he went home and was subject to his mother and father, you know, and the Word, he grew in the Word or something to that degree. See, he grew in it. He became the Word made flesh. And being the Word made flesh made him our kinsman, the Son of Man. Okay? Now as it did then, so the Old Testament gave birth to the Word. All right. Then can't you see the point of what I've tried to make this morning, heavily, that this Son of Man in the end time is not a human flesh element person, you know, a mortal body. It's in as a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. It's in bride form. All right? So now then the bride is going to give birth not to a baby. Now, I've heard this preached around the message years ago. The bride's pregnated to give birth. Amen. I agree with that. I agreed with it then, but I stood then and said, why don't you read Masterpiece? I said, because you're saying, and you're quoting Brother Branham, that Mary gave birth to the Word. Amen, I believe that. But read Masterpiece. Keep on reading. Because when you read Masterpiece, you find out that there was no more carriers, and Mary was not the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Word. She gave birth to the Word, yes, but He was the Word, she was not. She only gave birth to it. But in the end time, now you can't separate the bride and Him in the end time. So when I'm talking about the bride giving birth to the Word in the end time, I'm not talking about something separate. I'm talking about Christ in the church. Described by the book of Revelations. Described in the point of seeing that we give birth to the Word. But everybody said, oh yeah, in the days of the voice of the, when the Son of Man be revealed. That's Brother Branham. See, you just made him Almighty God. He had to come through Brother Branham to speak to you and I. And at times you couldn't separate him from, because God even said one day, I'm just using his voice. Sure, he was connected. But remember, Brother Branham was in the body of Christ. He was only a part of the body of Christ. He was not separate from the body of Christ. He had to be born again to get in the body of Christ. And he was not the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right? But see, we've got to give birth to the full Word, not just part Word. Luther done that. Wesley gave birth to part Word. Pentecost gave birth to part Word. We can't give birth to part Word. There is no carriers beyond Mary, right? Because the next was Word, the Word itself. And Brother Branham said Azusa Street, 1906, represented Mary. Now I'm quoting him. Represented Mary. That gave birth to the Word. But they wasn't the Word fully made manifest. Jesus Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Right. So when I'm talking about the church giving birth to the Word, don't run it aground. Remember, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. If there's anything in Lula, Georgia worth anything, it's Jesus Christ. It is not the people, it is not nobody. It's Jesus Christ. So what are you seeing? Jesus Christ, but you're seeing Him in bride form. As a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Coming from the church ages, the prophet said. coming from the Father's throne. And see, then when it is, as they gave birth to the Word, we've got to give birth to the Word. That's where your rapture's coming. Because there's only been one man that's ever took a change like it's supposed to be. Now, my Bible says it, so you argue with Enoch what you want to. That's up to you. But the Bible says no man had approached to immortality but Jesus Christ. Now, you go haywire trying to figure out Enoch and all you want to. That's what the Bible says. All right? So then there's only one approach to immortality. Immortality means eternal life in mortal flesh. So there's something about Enoch that I don't understand. I don't understand it. I'm just honest. But I'm telling you, you can't pull it in there to try to make that contrary, because it won't work. Because the Bible says it. No man has approached immortality but Jesus Christ. See, because He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's who you're seeing Him, but you're seeing Him in bride form. Just like you've seen Him in bride form in Revelation 1. Go back to Revelation 1. Remember all them services, 46 sermons ago? You see what I've been driving at? What has he seen in Revelation 1:13? John hears a voice about 11, 12, 13, and he turns to see the voice. The prophet said he saw the bride. And then the description says, one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, didn't say the Son of Man, said one like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Feminish. He's never seen in the book of Revelation apart from her. Show it to me. So that's the book I want. That's the one the devil's been against all this time. He's against you finding out who you are. You say, oh, well, it's just the book of Revelation, but Genesis 8, both of them, because it shows its beginning and shows its ending. It shows your beginning and your ending too. But how does it show him destroyed? Now, if the book of Revelation is going to show him destroyed, how is he destroyed? Oh. He's destroyed by the Word made flesh in the bride. Yes, but Brother Dale, if we had what we'd have, you know what's wrong with this church? You and that thought. Now, I'm exposing that right now. You and that thought. You go talk to somebody. Somebody comes and starts talking to you about, well, we just ain't got nothing going on. You tell them that Brother Dale said to come and talk to him. But no, you won't. You'll take your little spirit and you'll entertain that little thought because that's what you want. I ain't never figured out the human mind. And I'm glad I can't. Like Brother Moe was talking down there a while ago, I thought about it. Brother Moat said he was kind of tough in his days, and drinking and everything. He got saved. He told me, he said, I thought everybody wouldn't know I got saved. He said, I went around the neighborhood. I went around the people I knew. Tell them I got saved. Oh, you got saved. You know what? They'd rather had him like he was before. Now you tell me that ain't right. Why are there so many psychiatrists in the world when the psychiatrist is going to the psychiatrist? Why? Because everybody's got to have somebody. We all got problems. Man, one time somebody come and asked a person to pray for him one time, and he said, ain't no need me praying for you. I got troubles too. Now that's somebody in the message. But, listen, when are we going to start standing up and saying what God says about us? I'm trying to give you a description of yourself of what God says. He does not separate. That's why we get to it. He's got the unity. He unites with the church. And you took the title. Me and Brother Richard told me this morning. Take the title. The Invisible Union of the Bride and Jesus Christ. Is that the title he titled that message? No. The title of the message is The Invisible Union of the bride of Christ. Go check your title. Didn't check the sermon. He's talking about a uniting together of you and I. Because there's where the breaking cords are at, because if we stay separated in our thoughts and ideas, our little opinions, snapping cords is real easy. But you bind it together. It's harder to break, right? See, I don't care who it is. I may not make it. I may die and go to hell. There's one thing about it. 1969 in Athens, Georgia, I stood right there and preached that the bride of Jesus Christ in the end time would be the Son of Man, the Word made flesh. How much more do you think I believe that today? How much more do I stand upon it today? But see, it's got to be in bride form now. You get it? It's bride form. It's like Revelation 1, it's bride form. It's God revealing Himself in bride form. Not revealing Himself is over here and her over here. That's what I tried my best years ago, 1983. Well, I did in 1979. To try to get you to see what the word come means. The prophet said the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. You ever looked up the word coming? Oh, I know what it means. Do you? The word come does not mean travel whatsoever. I tell Brother David, won't you come see me? It ain't got nothing to do with what he's doing. That word has nothing to do with what he's doing. It's just an invitation. He has to do the coming. And the word come doesn't mean somebody standing on the porch knocking to get in your house. The biblical term of the word come. It doesn't mean you open the door and invite them in. It means you make them one with you. And when God becomes one with His bride, there's His coming. And it's only the Son of Man, as I started to say a while ago, the Son of Man is the only one that was ever changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. The Son of Man was the only one that was went from mortal to immortality. So you know what we got to do? We got to get Him here. Everybody wants to go up there. No, get Him here. And who's Him? The Word. Well, I've heard this for 30 years. You're what's wrong with the church? When you're going to realize that? You didn't accept it 30 years ago. When you're going to realize what's going on? Church, I'm talking about it. Me and Brother Richard talking this morning. I'm not talking about something to come. Brother Richard said this morning, he said, that headstone is to be united. And he said, that's being revealed. I said, exactly right. He said, that means that's already happened, don't it? Because he first does it, then he reveals it. Amen. Then it'll be made manifest. But see, you're wanting to see manifestation. I am too. But I can't make that work, and you can't either. But if we can get God on the scene, He can make it work. That's all I'm ever concerned with. All right, let's go on with the message now. See, the seven church ages would bring forth the Word that would birth the Son of Man. That's what it is. It's the birth of the Son of Man, the Word. Because the Son of God down through the ages, they didn't have the full Word, right? But in the end time, the bride is promised a full Word. And she's to give birth to that Word. All right? The one that was in the midst of the elders has this relationship to the church because it's got the seven horns and seven eyes, which is the seven spirits are the manifestation of God down through the ages. All right? See, the Son of Man died to release the Holy Ghost, to come back on the day of Pentecost, all right, making way for the Holy Ghost to come, right? So the Son of God down through the church ages has made way for the Son of Man to step on the scene. Had somebody not preached justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the prophet wouldn't have had anything to stand on. But it done been preached. All right. Now watch though. It can't happen until a certain time. Now this is going to get touchy for a second. So let's read number 3 of your notes now. Which is on the trial, 1964, 427. The scriptural voice that spoke in Moses' bush, and Moses stood pat on it, so was that a scriptural voice that spoke in the bush at 7 years old. I still stand and say it's the truth. Because Moses seen that word had to come to pass. I seen this word has to come to pass. The Son of Man has to be revealed. Exactly what it said. Notice, it promised that not Son of God, Son of Man, see. Son of Man, not Son of David, and Son of God. See, it's not that way. Listen. But after the days of the church age, when he's put out, then he reveals himself again as Son of Man. Now, after he's put out of the church, after the church age, because we being dead in Christ, we take on Abraham's seed, and we are his royal seed. How many admit that? Now remember that royal seed and the grain in a minute. We get back to it. Well, see, he did that to Abraham. He's doing the same thing. After the days of the church age, when he's put out. Now he'll even say in a minute the Spirit's put out. But you just remember what he says. They want the Holy Spirit among them to do mighty wonders and heal the sick and all kind of things, but they don't want the Word made flesh or the Son of God, the Word. That's what they don't want. That's what they put out. All right. Remember, this is the only age, Revelation 3:20, this is the only age that he's were outside the church knocking, trying to come back in. This is the only age out of all of them that he's outside the church. All right. See, I don't mind giving you both sides because I like it. Because it'll all fit together. You say, well, the church age. We've heard a lot about the church ages being over. And I've always tried to tell you the seventh church age goes all the way to the and touches the millennium. And really, the millennium is the seventh day. All right? But you're looking at something out here in element time. You're not looking at the revealed word and what's taking place. You're not looking at the fact that Egypt was in total darkness, but Goshen was in light. So Egypt was dead and gone. It was over with. But Goshen had light. Now, where were the brides at? They're still light. All right? So just keep that in mind. That's why Brother Brandon, when he drawed out them church ages, the Holy Spirit put the seventh one in total darkness. He said, I left a little light. Come on. Because it represented the bride. But he said, it'll go into total darkness. What, when the last one's saved? You say, was redemption over? I didn't start it, and I can't close it. You didn't either. So quit worrying about it. Well, if it's over, I can't be saved. If you take that thought, you can't be. That's the first doctrine that hit me in the message. Come in at 67 there. Redemption's over. I said, I'm sorry. I don't believe you. Why? Because I needed it. Right. Listen. So when he's put out. When is he put out? When the church age will end. And he's put out. So when he's put out of the age. Now listen. That don't mean that the age is over. That don't mean time stopped. That don't mean anything about the natural. When he's put out of the age is in darkness, the bride is in Goshen. Do you understand? Wherever the bride's at, still a light. All right? So wherever he's at, now if he was put out of the church age, then we went out with him. The first sermon I preached in this building right here, 1971, July the 4th, was going beyond man's camp. And that's what I preached then. I said, you bunch of people, you've denominated and died upon the message. Don't blame us for stepping out and moving on. We're just going beyond your man's camp. You've camped down. And that's what the biggest portion of the people's met in the message has done, is camped down and stopped. Oh, we believe Brother Branham. He's coming back. We're going to have this. We're going to do this. It's all right, whatever you believe in, that's your business. But don't blame me for not believing it. Don't throw off on me for trying to go on. And see, I like to give you both sides. Listen to what he said. Number four in your notes, questions and answers, 1964, 8:30 in the evening. Brother, question be question 391, which is on paragraph 1160. Brother Branham, have you made statements recently concerning that church age has ended, Lady Osea? Now, somebody had heard Brother Branham say something. Somebody had heard him at this time say on the seals that the seals can't be broken until the ages is run out. Right? So they got the idea the age was over. Now watch what he described. No, I never said it ended. If I did, you misunderstood. Or I said it wrong. This is the last church age. It's the end of the church ages, the Laodicea. It hasn't ended. When it ends, the church is gone. So as long as the church is here, it hasn't ended. See? I don't mind giving it that because that's true. I like that. The age is still here. But the bride has got to be called out. Now listen. How many times have you heard me preach? Wade's preached it. Brother Harris preached it. Brother Dean and these brothers. Aaron. That the messenger comes at the end of the age. Now, I won't go too far in that because you know where I'd be going. We'll be here at 9 o'clock tonight. But listen. We preached that each age had to give birth. Right? To the word of their age. And that each age is not in, each bride is not in the church age. There's never been a bride in the church age. It's a born-again believer to be in, is in the bride. It takes a born-again believer to be in the bride. So no born-again believer has ever been in an age anywhere. Paul wasn't in the age. He was here when the first age was going on. He was a messenger of that period of time. But he wasn't in the age. He was birthed out of it. He had eternal life. His body was in the age. But his soul was birthed out. Because you can't put the Holy Ghost in age. That's quoting Brother Branham. You put the Holy Ghost in people. You don't put it in an age. All right? So each age was to give you to be birthed out of the age. That's why it takes, and I don't have time to explain it. Somebody on tape, you hear this, send me a message. I'll be glad to send you a tape. There's got to be 8 manifestations of God, but only 7 angels. But Brother Branham explained how Luther come at the end of the Catholic age, Wesley come at the end of the Lutheran age, Pentecost come, Azusa Street at the end of Wesley's age, and at the end of Laodicea, there would be a message come, which would be his message. That makes 8 manifestations of God, because on the day of Azusa Street, 464 of the seal book, no messenger of the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself. In the fullness. All right. Now, so then here we stand. What is it that we are to birth? If we're birthed out of the age. Come on, you're tying it together. If we're birthed out of this age, what is we birthed out of? We're birthed out of this mess. It's called the message. I said it, mess called the message. Not the message. The message is right. We give birth to the Word. That is the message. That makes us birthed out of the age. We was birthed out of the age by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost like it was on Azusa Street. But that's not the finality. The new birth that fell on the day of Pentecost, Azusa Street Pentecost, was the fullness of the baptism and the new birth. And that birthed the people out of the age. But you and I got to be birthed out of this. Because it's a bride out of an age. And see, then coming out of this, we give birth to the Word, which is the Son of Man, which is the Lamb to take the book. Or Israel's not going to get it. Because surprisingly to you, maybe that you hadn't thought of it, the book that goes to Israel is a revelation of Jesus Christ, not a textbook. It's a revelation of the bride of Jesus Christ. About 490-something of the sealed book. Brother Brown explains it to the through the two witnesses to the people. You missed it. But these Gentiles become this word. See, we are to birth this message. We are to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. Come on, is that right? See, then what are we to do? We are to be birthed out of this age, which is the birth of the Word, the Son of Man. The age is still out here. The age goes on after we go in the rapture. The age goes on at least 3.5 years after we go in the rapture. So don't think about, well, the age ended. Brother Branham in the seal book, I think I've got it. If it ain't, I'll be in the next message. He said the seals could not be broken until the denominational age is run out. I didn't say that. He did. Were they broken? So the denominational age is run out. You're no longer in carriers. Azusa Street represented the carrier. So the age, Brother Brown said, yes, you misunderstood me. The age is going on and goes all the way on until I have the rapture. But you and I have got to be birthed out of the age into the word of the hour that we're living. Okay, now. If that be true, then let's see what Brother Brown said here. The audible letter, number 5, audible letter to Brother Lee Vail in 1964. I guess it's the 5th month, so they just put it 0500. We find in Ezekiel, paragraph 22, we find in Ezekiel, the 2nd chapter, in the 1st verse, I believe it is, that Jehovah himself called Ezekiel son of man. And other prophets were referred to as son of man. So to make the scripture perfect, he had to become a prophet, son of man. Now we find that through the church ages, he has been son of God, like God the Spirit. He's in the Holy Spirit, son of God, to the churches. The Laodicean age, he's put out. Then according to Luke, there, he's to reveal himself again as son of man. When the son of man is revealed, see, revealing himself as son of man again, not son of God. Son of God was the Holy Spirit. And they grieved it from the church. Put it out. Put the Holy Spirit out of their organization, denomination. And there he is on the outside of the church in Revelation 3. The Laodicean age, son of God has been put out. Now he reveals himself back, son of man. You've got some real good words on that. You're already in your manuscripts there. So where's he at? When he's put out. The age is over when he's put out. Time just keeps right on going. Now when Jesus paid the price at Calvary, didn't Brother Branham say that he kept on dealing with the Israelites for a short period of time? He said really on up to about AD 70 where Titus came in. Now, is that a direct quote? So there's an overlap of things. And God knows how to deal with it. Go ahead. Let's just read a whole lot now. Number 6. The Breach, page 97. 63, 317E. John looked at that lamb. That lamb looked like he'd been slain. Now, I've read a lot of these over and over before for you. So. Then he noticed he was wounded and cut and bruised and bleeding, a bloody lamb. That's what took our place. Now we find that through the church ages, he's been the Son of God, like God the Spirit. He's in the Holy Spirit, Son of God to the churches. The Laodicean age, he's put out. I just got through reading that. Excuse me. Let me continue on at number 6. Trying to find number 5. I missed it somewhere. No, that was the audible letter. Number 6. All right. Audible letter. Number 6. Okay. Go on down to number 7. Which is the unveiling of God. Preached 1964. 6:14 in the morning. Oh, brother, sister, are you catching it? Look. Don't you see? It's been veiled through these ages according to what God said. And it would be opened in the last days. Those 7 seals would be broke. And the full thing would come into view of the people. what's took place all along. The hour of the seventh angel's message, all the mysteries of God should be made known in that Elijah, in this last hour. How that Christ is put out of his church as Son of God. How he's revealed as Son of Man again. How that the church is to be put in order in everything for the last days. And no creed and no denomination, just absolutely the Word living in the individual. I'll take one and leave one. I'll take this one and leave that one. See, it's just, there's no strings, no denominations, no bindings, nor nothing. It's the heart with God and Him alone. Go on down, Feast of the Trumpets. Page 14, paragraph, 1964, 719, morning. Now He's been revealed through the church ages. Now watch, through the church ages, the Son of God. God being a Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He revealed Himself in the church ages as in the congregation, as the Holy Spirit among the people. We find in Laodicean church age, the last age, He's put out of the church. Now, nowhere else was He ever put out in any age but in the Laodicean age, because they said, we're rich and have need of nothing, and know it not that you're miserable, poor, naked, blind, and don't know it. He's put out of the church age. And then according to Luke 17, He said, it was in the day, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, He was reading the same Genesis that we read. Notice in Sodom what taken place. What was in Sodom? Abraham. All right. Keep on going. Doors in Doors, 1965, 206, paragraph 117. I stand at the door, Jesus said, in this Laodicean age, and knock. Did you notice the only church age that He was put out of His church? All the other church ages. He was inside the church through the Methodists, the Lutherans, and so forth. He was on the inside church. But here He's outside. Our creeds and things has run Him out of the church, but He's standing out there still knocking. He that will hear and open the door, I will come in with him, sup with him, and give him healing for his eyes and clothes, and give them the riches of heaven, that he will hear me knock. Now see, that's why you got to come out. You got to come out of the church to where He's at. It's not stay in the church and try to convert the church. That's what Martin Luther tried to do. Martin Luther wanted to reform the church. He finally just got where he couldn't do it. He had to come out of the church. It's always been a coming out. We got to go out where He's at. Going beyond man's count, go out where He's at. And where He's at, that's where I want to be. So then when He's put out, ever when it was, when He's put out of the church ages, and we know that He started revealing Himself way back there in the late 50s through Brother Branham and the sign of the resurrection, the Son of Man. So somewhere there on down to the opening of the seals, He was totally put out of the church. Oh no, they're shouting their glory out. That's what I'm saying. You don't understand. When the prophet said the Spirit was put out, they want the Spirit. They want the shoutings and the glory hallelujahs. They want all the signs and wonders, but they don't want the Spirit Word. They don't want Christ preaching the Word to them. He's outside the church. So when He was put outside the church, Laodicea went into darkness. But see, over here is the bride in Goshen, and there's still some little people back there maybe being called out. You know what amazed me? That scripture that time, I believe it's Ephesians, now I may miss it, but I think it's Ephesians, where it says, what did it come out of her? No, that's Revelation 18:4. Awake thou that sleepeth. That's in Ephesians somewhere. Awake thou that sleepeth. You know what Brother Brown said? He said, that's that bride out there in them denominations still asleep. That's what he said. That's that bride still out there in them denominations, still asleep. Right. So if there's people today to be called out, they're over there sleeping. Right. Of course, here, a lot of people sleep too. But listen. I stand at the door and knock. Right. The only age that he's put out of. I stand at the door and knock. The only place, the only position. Now let's read what he says in the seal book, page 76, the breach, number 10 on your notes, 63:317e. Notice, and is not revealed until, this book is not revealed until the church ages, and the denominational ages has run out. And there's time no more. Time's still going on. There is no time to you if you're birthed out of the age. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't care how much older I get, I'm still a young man inside. All of us is the same age by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the soul, which is a theophany. No matter if you're 80-something like Brother Tom, or you're whatever the youngest person in the building got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're all the same age in Christ, because there is no age. See, we're birthed out of the age. Do you understand? See, that's the key to the whole thing. The seals couldn't break until the ages ended. Well, later sin ended in 63. No. Later sin age is still going on. 63 was when God revealed what was taking place in glory 2,000 years ago. That's what your prophet said. See, it didn't mean redemption was over in 63. Redemption was over before the world ever begun. See? Watch what he says. Notice it's not revealed. This book is not revealed until the church age and denominational ages have run out. And there's time no more. See it? It's only revealed after church ages and denominational ages has run out. That's the reason the thing is in such a scruple tonight, see? They pick up a little doctrine and they run off here to one side and say, this is it. Another one pick up another doctrine and run off to this side and said, this is it. And each one building a denomination under it until we got hundreds of denominations. But still in all of it, to see the confusion, the people are wondering, what is truth? Is that, if that isn't just the condition today? Now, the seal is not, the book is not revealed until the denominational ages run out. When does the denominational ages run out? When they put him out of the church. Whether that was 40 or 60 or when it was. Brother Branham in about 60-something there said the Baptists just now become a denomination. You know what they've done? They put him out of the church. When Brother Branham couldn't go preach to them denominational churches anymore, they had put him out of the church. Right? You know what that ended? That church age. Come on. Is not this message the only form of salvation today? Now don't cabbage down on that point. This message contains everything that's ever been preached all the way from the beginning. This is the complete revealed word of God. And when them denominations refused to have Brother Branham to come preach to him anymore, the door was shut. He was out of the church. So then he's right when he said that the seals couldn't break until the denominational ages run out. Now, let's just be a little personal. When did you leave the Presbyterian, Brother Dick? 70-something. He's coming up here in 80. Well, let's make a point. 70. Or 79 or 80. Okay. We'll say 79. Brother Dick Addison heard the message. Working with a little old fellow there at Dorval. Talking to him about Agape Atlanta. And I began to talk to him about water baptism and things. And I'm going to say it the best way I can understand it. Because at that time, see, Brother Dick just got a couple of toes out of the church. Right. Then he got on, he got baptized. A little further. See? What was he doing? By the revealed word, he was coming out of the church. You know what the church was doing? They was dying. Now, I'm not against those people, and you know better than that. Now, don't garbage can on me. There's foolish virgins out there and all like that, thank God. But that, the point is, what it was is, see, when we come out of the church, that's what caused the church to die. Because there's no more light there. Right? When you left that church and there wasn't no more light there, the church was in darkness. See, they put you out because now you can't go back. Oh yeah, you can go back if you keep your mouth shut. But you can't even look crooked. You can't even smile when the preacher said, everybody believe in the Trinity. Well, how come, Dick, you ain't got your hand up? No. There ain't no way to go back. There's nothing, you can't do it. Why? Because it died. See, that's when the denominational age is ended. It's when they put you out of it. When you walked out of there, they didn't run me out of the Baptist church. They tried their best to get me to stay. My brother even came out the day I left and said, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. But I can't stay in this church. He said, well, we'll just build you one. Well, folks, I had enough family. There's a whole lot more than what's in this building right now. We could have easily had us a day of church. My brother come to me later. He said, I don't understand. He said, the way you preach. He said, why the world ain't falling at your feet at that church to listen to you? That's what he said. But he wouldn't come. He thought it was bad for everybody else. But listen. See, the church ends when you walk out. When you walk out of that church. You was asleep. Wake thou that sleepeth. And you walk out. The age is over. It's over for them. Because you was the only light to us. And you know what I mean. There could be other people that was in there. But you know how many come out. Right? I know two came out of the church that Dick and him was in. I ain't talking about his family now. I'm talking about him and Al. And it was the two men that walked out of the church. But listen, church. The world is in total darkness. There's only light where the bride's at. That's all I've ever tried to get you to do, and me to do either, is just to come out of the church. Well, see, when I got into the message, I found out I was in a bigger mess than it was back there. Then I've been coming out ever since. I come out of the first one because he believed that there's no Holy Ghost today. He just had anointings and all of that. I had to leave it. I got run out when I got tired of being, you got the Holy Ghost, show me your signs and wonders. Pointing his finger right in my face, and I was sitting as close to Brother David. I might have been a little closer. Well, see, I had to leave. Oh, yes, if I'd have said, yes, brother, you're right, amen. Oh, everybody'd have been happy. But I just sat there and looked at him. And I finally told him, I said, look, I'm causing you more trouble than I'm doing any good for any of us. I'm leaving. Well, went to another church. Got in another church where they preached that you women will be saved in childbearing. I'm not joking. Some sitting here went to those churches. A man got up one day and preached. He preached you'll be saved in childbearing. Just stop. We come on outside out there and was talking. And something was mentioned about that statement he made. And I said, brother, would you mind quoting the rest of it? What do you mean? I quoted Brother Branham. He said you were saving childbearing. I said, would you mind quoting the rest of the paragraph, the rest of the sentence even? What does it say? Brother Branham said, she shall be saved in childbearing if she continue in the faith. Well, I wasn't no longer popular. So I had to leave there. And I've threatened leaving here a lot of times. That fellow said, once in the morning, while every evening, it's just once every morning, and while every evening, I threaten to quit. I sat back there a while ago thinking, God, I ought to just sit down and just shut up. I preach my heart out and scream and cry and try to get you to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. It tires my heart out. Well, it'll go on. But listen, at least there's one thing about it. When we get there, you won't be able to say that I didn't tell you the truth. And you won't have no excuse for that, so that's up to you. You do what you want to with the rest of it. Something I make personal points sometimes you can argue about. But you argue about this word. You're going to face God. You're not facing me. I done something the other day and said, Satan, that ain't nothing but you challenging me and my preaching. I done it right back there coming out a while ago. It's just Satan challenging my preaching. And I'll keep right on preaching it until somebody gets there or something's going to happen. Because it's got to be the Word. You may not like my attitude and my ways. I don't like yours either. So we got it doing pretty good. We don't like each other, but we love each other. Huh? Contrary to Gomer Pyle, he used to say, "Sarge, I don't love you. I like you, though." But listen, the bride must give birth to the lamb that is seen here that can take the book. And it's done after the church ages is over. The denominational ages is over. All right. So where's it coming down to now? All right, let's go to number 11. We would see Jesus, 1962, 06, 27. Now Jesus said, you said, what was that man? Who was he? Abraham ought to know. Abraham called him Elohim, is that right? The self-existing one, God himself made flesh, and showing that God in the last day. And he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, that God himself in the form of the Holy Ghost would be so into his church, listen, so filled, till he'd be moving and operating in the church, God in human flesh, see, doing the same thing. Well, I just don't see the things being done, or I'd believe it. Why don't you believe it, and then it'll be done? Because if you ever believe it, you know what it is about being done. Come on. Unveiling of God, paragraph 314, preached in 1964, 614. Now what does it do? It finally returns back to the original seed again. Listen. When he come in the form of Martin Luther, when he come in the form of John Wesley, when he come in the form of the Pentecostals, he's supposed to reveal himself again like the same seed went in the Son of Man. He revealed himself as Son of God through the stock age and so forth, but in this last age, he's to reveal himself as Son of Man again. In other words, get it, he said. No more carriers. We're not a carrier. That was Azusa Street. We're back to the Word. Or either we're lost. All right. Paragraph 318, same message, unveiling of God. Now to the perfect. After the stalk has been formed, after the tassel's been formed, after the grain has come into the cob, then it has to come to perfection, back to a regular grain again. And remember, the grain must be germatized. See? And if it don't, it won't live. See, none of that was outside of them messages will ever come to life. It has to be germatized to it. Remember, the same life that was in the stalk is in the grain. See, it's just maturing itself right back. See, he revealed himself, what? Son of Man, the grain that went into the ground. Get the message? The Greek said to him, we would see Jesus. He said, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground. See, all right. Who is the grain? The Son of Man. Who's supposed to produce the grain? The bride. Who is the grain? The bride. There's nothing else for us to make manifest. That's why people will say it, you know, you ain't got nothing, I ain't got nothing, we just sitting down waiting on the Lord. You don't see what you got to make manifest. At least this church can't be blind on the basis of what I say you got to make manifest. You got to make manifest the living Word. The revealed Word, not just letter words. That's why I challenge you. Take the Bible, take the four Gospels, and write down how many miracles happened in the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. Then write down 3.5 years of here, how many miracles have happened among this church. But yet you say there ain't nothing going on. But it's your blinded eyes. Yeah, but see, what you're looking at, say, well, there's Danny, he's still sick. There's one thing about it, Danny's still alive. Now you argue the point. When the man had every right to be dead. Right? and yet he's with us. Get Brother Tom up and let him testify for about an hour and a half about the healings in his life. He said, yeah, but that was just going in. Okay, that's just go ahead. But listen, the grain of wheat .320 number 14 on your notes. Same message, unveiling of God. Now what did he reveal himself next? In a different form. Listen. Stalk and tassel and so forth. See, that was Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, right? And all the leaves and everything. He revealed himself then what? Same spirit, but in a different form. But what's the last of that corn? It comes back to the original grain. Is that right? And his ministry comes to them reformations, from them reformations, back to the original word again. The word comes to a prophet, and he promised in Malachi 4, and to restore the faith of the people back to the original grain. What went into the ground, in the ground, is here the same. Now what's he talking about? What went into the ground? First, Jesus Christ went into the ground, right? He was the grain. Secondly, the church went into the ground in the dark ages, because she was the grain up to the fourth age of pure unadulterated word. Now it's come back to the original grain again. Where? Oh, listen, Brother Branham. Yeah, the combat beast back there was a lion, that was in the people. Yeah, the ox, that was in the people. Yeah, the man, that was in the people. Eagle, oh, that's Brother Branham. Man that come up there at Gainesville years ago, Brother Thomas can verify. He got up there and preached. He said, did you say Brother Brown's a prophet? Did he just come to make way for the prophets? And I hollered, amen. Because I didn't mean him, and I didn't mean me. But I hollered, amen. Why? Because this is a prophetic age. We went over to the old Blue Boar, I guess it was, eating supper. And he kept talking about what it was out there, the bar, big bar. He kept talking about the bride and a Gentile prophet being the two witnesses to Israel. I took all I could take of it. I said, Brother, I'm sorry. Brother Branham said that two witnesses would be two Jews. You don't think it'd be a Gentile bride and a Gentile prophet? I said, no, sir, I don't believe it would be that, because the prophet said it'd be two Jews. Of course, I was put off the record, you know what I mean? You see, I just told him what I believe. If you think the eagles got all to do it, why is all these eagles out on these people's houses down the road? Why are the eagles' trucks running down the highway with a big eagle on them? Because this is the eagle age. The time for God to make manifest the grain, the same that went into the ground. Yeah. Let's get over here. Trying to get down to the last point, I'm sorry. It's already nearly four, and I'm sorry. I told you I would try to. But look what he said, Mighty God Unveiled, 1964, 629. Now, when their tradition veil is of traditions of the elders and the word is broke through, or of course today, them comes in plain view, we see him, deity again, veiled in human flesh. Hebrews 1 said so, and also Genesis 18. You remember, God was a man, standing there eating and talking, remember Melchizedek with Abraham, talking with Abraham, and told what Sarah was doing in the tent behind, and Jesus said that was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Deity veiled again in human flesh. See, that's, oh, that's Brother Branham. And remember, Jesus didn't say when the Son of God is being revealed in Luke 17th chapter, I believe, in about the 20th, 21st verse, somewhere along there. He said, and when the Son of Man is being revealed, the Son of Man back in the church again, revealed in human beings, not Son of God, but the Son of Man again, back in His church again in the last days, we find that He promised that in God's promises, proving His word. Look right down in the middle of it. You read all the rest of it. The bride will come right through this, when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. There was where God was in Brother Branham. God was in Brother Branham, right? To unite the church and the body. He used a man to bring a message to unite us together. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word, and the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man, not a clergy. The rapture, 1965, 1204, 17, on your notes. And it's all to be manifested in the grain of wheat at the end. Another comeback, and it'll take like Luke 17:30 in the 17th chapter in the 30th verse, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man reveals himself again. What is revealed? Make his revelation of what he is in this day revealed out to the people. The word that's made known for the day. What's to be revealed out to the people? The word that's made known for the day, revealed to the people by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, making that Jesus live among us. All right. Where's it at? I've lost mine. I know it, but I've lost it. Somebody give me the 18th and I left that off of mine. It's not on the back of mine, so I left it off of my notes. All right, listen. Now listen to what he's talking about, because what Jesus is going to be, and I'm going to read fast all the way through. Because this is going to be the bride of Jesus Christ being the Son of Man. Brother Branham was not the Son of Man, he was a Son of Man. All right. Harvest time, 1964, 12:12. Second paragraph down. And in that day, Luke 17:20, I believe it is, Jesus said, when the Son of Man is being revealed, not man, the Son of Man, not an organization, the Son of Man, the Word living itself again among the people, see. The Word itself made flesh in you. You are a reflection of this hour, the message reflection of it, see. You live again, live the life that was in Christ. You're in the presence of the Son. Read all the rest of it now. This day this scripture fulfilled, 1965, 125. Could I not say this, that if I had just been on my toes, see, the brother prophesied when he said to me that what he did this day, watch what he did right after the reading of that scripture. In the days when the Son of Man, not a human being, the Son of Man will reveal himself among his people again. This day, this promise of this hour that we're now living in is fulfilled before your eyes. He turned immediately to the congregation in 10 or 12 and all the things. That's, remember that was on Birkbank. When that priest handed him the Bible. And he finally turned around, not right then, but he turned around later and he said, after we've seen this, we got to get out of the church, or the church has got to get out of the mess it's in. That was the statement the Catholic priest made. Who is this Son of Man? Rising the Sun, 1964, 418, page 15. Now, who is this Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And of all the teaching that we have in confirmation of the Word of God, by Word of God, by signs, by wonders we see today, that in the book of Luke here that we just quoted from, the Luke, the 17th chapter and 13th verse, and Malachi 4, and the different scriptures that we're acquainted with, that the word again is waved over the people, that the dead traditions of man is dead, and the Son of God is alive again with the baptism of the Holy Ghost right among us and has given us life. God's provided place of worship, 1965, 425. Second paragraph. Hallelujah, I challenge this whole audience in the name of Jesus Christ. If you could, your conscience, don't let it be seared with unbelief. Now, you're in Lula, come on. Don't let it be frustrated. I don't know what's going on. Pray. Don't let it be frustrated. Can't you see the Son of Man? The Son of Man in the form of prophetic message? Returning back again in His church in prophecy? In His church. He didn't say the man. Revealing Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never been done through the ages till this time. See, there's the proof of it. Anointed ones at the end time, 65:7-25. Second paragraph. In the very day that the Son of Man is revealed, Revelation 10:1-7. Read it when you get home. The seventh angel's message. And Brother Brown says Revelation 10:1 is the same as Revelation 1:13. Revelation 1:13 is standing in the midst of the soul and get candlestick, one like him, the Son of Man. Now that's what he said. You can say, but that's just Brother Branham. Watch. The seventh angel is messing. Open up the seals. What is it? Not the angel is the Son of Man, but the messenger is revealing the Son of Man. Can you get it separated? Now, see, not the messenger, not Brother Branham. He's revealing the Son of Man. There's where it seemed to be so hard for you, see. Not the Son of Man himself, but the seventh angel, the seventh messenger, is revealing to the public the Son of Man. Why? Because it's left to shuck. He can't organize it. It is the grain itself again. And in that day, Jannes and Jambres will withstand anointed ones, make believers and unbelievers, the church former Pentecostal stood up against the true grain. But let them alone. Their folly will be made manifest as theirs was. You understand that? Still the same message. That was paragraph 258, anointed ones. This is paragraph 269. Now I want you to know this. Excuse me. Well, okay. Let me just drop in the middle of it because it's basically the same statement. It wasn't the seventh angel, oh no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. And he's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. His words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. If you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly above all these denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it while we pray? What? Feed on it. Last one. God's only provided a place of worship. 264. No leaven among you. Leaven is denominational doctrine. When is the bride going to be this Son of Man you're talking about, Brother Dale? Right here. No leaven among you. No denominational doctrines. The age is done run out. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Couldn't do it in Luther's age. Couldn't do it in Wesley's age. Couldn't do it in the Pentecostal age. But in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested, revealed, brought back the church together, now listen, with the entire deity of God amongst his people, showing the same visible signs, manifesting like he did at the beginning when he was manifested on earth in the form of a prophet, oh glory, promised by Malachi 4, promised by the rest of the scripture, where you worship at, the house of God seated in present tense. Do you understand? The bride will be the Son of Man. The Word made flesh. The grain that went into the ground is to come forth again. The faith of the fathers went into the ground at Nicaea. But the real grain was Jesus back there that said, unless the corn of wheat die and fall into the ground. See, that's the one to be restored. The faith of the fathers, yes, to be restored, yeah. But then bringing it back to the Son of Man in bride form. The church is to give birth to that lamb. When she gives birth to that lamb with the seven horns and seven eyes, that's in bride form. Then he can take the book and loose the seals. But Brother Dale, I thought it's all in Brother Branham. See, that's where we think. I thought it's all back there. That's where we think. That's what Eve said in the beginning, I think. Right? I think. Proper. She said, I think. But I thank God the truth has been revealed. And it don't give me much to think about except what the prophet has said. 1969, I preached the bride of Jesus Christ was the Son of Man. What do you think I believe today? The Word made flesh. Where is Israel going to get the seals? From the Lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Oh, we're going over there. No, don't be carnal. They will hear the message that you and I have heard, and will see that we are the message, and will see us sitting on the throne. Because just remember, that's the next point we're going to. Because see, it's getting pretty crowded on the throne. You got a throne and one sitting on the throne. And you got a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Now you got a lamb sitting on the throne. Next, we got to see the bride sitting on the throne with him. Not on, in, excuse me. In the throne with him. You see what I'm talking about? You see? Wait there and go ahead and get the communion ready. Let's stand. I didn't want to go too long this afternoon because of being the time of the communion, but I wanted to get down to that part, and I know I had to go fast, and I'm sorry. But go back and put the tape on slow. I got one from Brother Richard and them the other day, and he was talking so fast, I thought, boy, I can listen to that sermon in a hurry. I wouldn't know what he said, but I just laughed. I said, well, we'll order another one. And called him and told him, you know, but he'll hear that and get a good life. But I could really, Brother Dean got one time and Brother Al made for him, and he had it in reverse, and it sounded like speaking in tongues, and he was trying to figure out what I had said because he thought Al wasn't pulling a trick on him. If we could all listen in fast language, we'd be all right. But we all listen slow. But I'm sorry for reading so fast. You go back and read. That's why I give you these things. You go read what your prophet has to say. And see who you are. The grain that went into the ground is here again. The same grain that walked the shores of Galilee, the same Son of Man. Who is that Lamb? It's the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Where does she come from? He come from? From the bride. We give birth to the Son of Man just as the Old Testament gave birth to the Son of Man. We give birth to the Son of Man here in the end time. The Word made flesh in your flesh. All of us together makes the Son of Man. We'll get to it next. I've got the quotes on. Then the bride is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, just because one big man in the message says hogwash to that, all of his followers don't believe that statement that Brother Branham made. And there's no telling how many thousands around the world is following that one man. But that don't have nothing to do with me. Just because they got two souls, they got this, they got that and the other, just because they got all them doctors, that don't have anything to do with you and me. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who is this Son of Man that's in you? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It doesn't change him from being Son of God when you talk about him Son of Man. You know that when he goes to Israel, when he goes to Israel in the tribulation, he first must give them life, which is Son of God. Then he becomes Son of Man. Then he can be Son of David to them. But it has to be done in stages. That's all he's been doing to you and I, is revealing himself in stages. The Word made alive. But Brother Dale, it just don't look like it. I wonder what you would feel like if you were walking with the Lord Jesus in the last month that he lived. Have you ever thought about that? The last maybe week he lived. Maybe the last day, you know, before the crucifixion. Would you have thought he was God? Was not Paul laying up there fixing to get his head chopped off And that was the crowning day of His ministry. That was when He cried out, "Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory?" See, we think it's supposed to get better. The closer you come to God, the worse it's going to get. But that just don't look right, Brother Dale. The Bible never has looked right to the human mind. But it's the truth. Not trying to prop up and say we don't. We have things among us. We see things among us. But we don't see what I want to see among us. Brother Dale, you want to see miracles? Amen, I want to see miracles. You get the church to the right place and there'll be miracles. That's no problem. But you know what I want to see? Now this is what I want to see. I want to see a church, a group of people, so dedicated to the Word until nothing else amounts to anything but what the Word says. And then a group of people walking in that Word, living in that Word, as Jesus Christ was that Word. But see, then you look around and you see people that you be one service won't be back the next, etc. That tears my heart out. But Brother Dale, you're not in my seat. I know it. There's times of sicknesses, there's problems. But there's one thing about it. What would happen if I... Then my wife, she's been so sick many times until she just so sick she couldn't stand it on Sunday morning. It's only been half a dozen times since we've been in this church building here since 1971 that she ever missed church on account of being sick. Well, that's the kind of person I'd like to see. Because then when they are sick, there's no problem. When some of you are sick, there's no problem with me. You know what? It's a problem because I want to see you well. But I mean, it's no problem that you miss service. But it's when you miss it just for any little thing. Any little thing. Would Jesus do that? That's up to you. Because I can't rule people. I don't want to rule people. I want to rule by the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is the truth. It wouldn't matter if I was telling my family, if I was telling who it is, I've got to tell you the truth. And everybody knows I don't soft soap nothing. Because the prophet said, if you do, they'll think you're trying to deceive them. I won't answer you a lot of times. When you ask me a question, I won't answer you. Because if you tell me I'm going to do so-and-so, what do you think? I ain't going to answer you. Now, if you come and say, Brother Dale, what should I do about so-and-so, I'll answer you. But when you tell me you're going to do it, I'm not going to answer you. Why? Because you done made up your mind. But if you let anything, Brother Brown said, your wife, your job, your husband, or your pastor. I don't mind quoting that statement. He said, get between you and God, you got a problem. That's what he said. I'm sorry for the pastor that I've been that's hindered a lot of you. But there's one thing you can't say. You can't say this pastor has been down in the mouth about the Word. It's always been the Word, and God has given us the Word. I have my downs and ups and all just like anybody else. But I don't, no need of letting everybody else know it. Because it don't help a thing. Just walk on. Somebody say something, just walk on. Why? I was thinking the other day about something. I've been praying now, and let's see. I used to pray when a certain brother come to this church, and you know I've told you how many hundred times have I said this. This certain brother used to come here because all he looked for was signs. And I used to pray and ask God sitting in the back room. I said, don't do no signs while that man's here, because all he's going to do is go out and blab it and bring people in here that don't want the Word. He said, Brother Dale, you're a funny person. I agree with you 100%. But I don't want nobody here. I told Richard when he was talking about Mary and Anna, I said, I want you at Lula on account of the Word. If it ain't the Word, it won't work out on nothing. Aaron's got something nobody else ain't been able to say for a long time. First question Aaron asked me when he talked to me years ago, first time he talked to me, he asked me a question I couldn't answer. He'd go around and tell everybody, I asked Brother Dale a question he couldn't answer. I couldn't. I told him I didn't know. And that was no problem. But listen, Christ Jesus is among us, but He's here in a way that is not like all of the rest. And that's all I want is you to be Word birth. And that's not hard. Is it hard to be a Christian? Is it hard to live for Christ? Then the Bible says if you can't keep up with the footman, what about when the horsemen get here? What's going to happen when persecution strikes if you can't live as a Christian life during the times of opportunity? Don't worry about it. You'll give in. Just think on these things. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. See, they had just got to the place that they were just having a supper. And there was no sincerity to the taking of communion. So Paul said, if you're hungry, eat at home. Nothing wrong with sitting down having a supper and getting up having the communion. But when you get so you just put it all together, you get in a problem. Because after a while you'll say, well, ain't no need of us taking the bread and the wine. We done eating here. Let's just get a little wine and bread while we eat, and we're going to take communion. Very easy, wouldn't it? But you see, do these things like that. Father, we just commit it all to You. And You said tarry, so we tarry now for a moment. Thinking about the things, the people praying for me and me praying for them, Lord. Help us. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. The Bible said He took bread and blessed it. Father, we thank You for this bread that's been made for this purpose today, that we may all be partakers together. It represents Your body, which was shed for each and every one of us. It represents the Word that we have heard. So let us eat this bread and eat it, Lord, prepared, ready to go. Eat it in haste, ready to move on. Forgive our sins, Lord. Bless the bread. Bless the partakers. In Jesus' name.